A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, January 23rd, 2017. And this is Live Talk. I'm Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Gibbs Dube.
And tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are going to talk about the implications of the Bikita by-election.
To join the discussion, call us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077.
And as usual, Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on the 4930-6065 and 15460 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voadebele.com and www.voashona.com.
Once again, thanks for joining us, and you are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk. And tonight on Live Talk, we are going to talk about the Bikita West by-election.
President Robert Mugabe's ruling party retained the Bikita West parliamentary seat with his candidate, Beauty Chabaya, polling 13,156 votes against a poor showing by opposition and independent candidates.
ZANU-PF was quick to celebrate the victory, calling it a baptism of fire for its former vice president, Dr. Joyce Mujuru. But analysts, civil society groups, and the opposition were united in condemning what they allege are terror tactics used by ZANU-PF to intimidate voters. What are the takeaways for both the ruling party and the opposition parties from this election? Since Zimbabwe is going to have its next general elections in 2018.
And to join the discussion, phone us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077. That number again, 001-202-619-2077. And you can actually watch us live on Facebook. We're streaming on VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and VOA Studio 7. So join us right now.
Onguka hama wadiwa makasununguka kuti munge muchifona kuti tinge tichitaura nezve sarudzo dzakaitwa kuBikita West uko ZANU-PF yakakunda zvine mutsindo asi vanopikisa vari kuti kunenge kwanga kuchitwa bata murefu bata mupfupi nekudaro vanhu vaityisidzirwa vamwe vachinzi hatikupei chikafu vamwe vachinzi munouraiwa mukavhotera mapato anopikisa nezvimwe zvakawanda wanda nekudaro makasununguka kuti tinge tichitaura nyaya iyoyi uye maonero enyu sarudzo dzichaitwa muna 2018 kuti pane chinobuda here kune vanopikisa kana kuti aiwa zvinenge zvotonetsa hanzi kana panenge pasina chembwa kana muzvere ararira tsenza
yavona blessing makona apa kuruma kune mwana usitai job breakation anzwa akota mwana anokhulumire kumnandi yeah so yeah lapha ke zuri kandaba namhla sikhuluma ngakhona kokwenzakale by-election eBikita sizwile ke ukuthi uBeauty Chabaya weZANU-PF ubalahle phansi bonke wazuza 13,000 votes kwathi laba abanye bazuza sibili amavotes amalutshwane siyabona njalo ukuthi ibandla likaJoyce Mujuru eleZimbabwe People First lingenele kukhetho lolu kodwa lakha phansi litshaye sibili amavota ayi 2,000 lokunye nje okuncane okhonapho kuzobuya ke le National Constitutional Assembly ingenele khonapho kade kulo umnumzana uMaduk Chibasa otshaye sibili egangeni ngokukhuluma sibili kwezinto ngokubonakala kwezinto ngatholanga ke kangako kuzobuya ke labanye kade bengama-independence labo kukhanya abayenzanga kuhle pho-ke kuyonakale ngaphi asixoxeni zulu kandaba sibona ukuthi udaba lolu singalubeka ngaphi ye kunjalo ke blessing
Once again tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk we are going to talk about the implications of the Bikita West by-election of course for starters this seat became vacant after its previous occupant, that is Mr. Munyaradzi Kereke, to be precise. He was actually sentenced to about 10 or 14 years in prison for raping his niece, and the seat was declared vacant. And this is also the first time that former Vice President Joyce Mujuru fielded a candidate who did not fare very well in that particular election. And the election, of course, was boycotted by other opposition parties such as the Movement for Democratic Change, formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai, the MDC led by Professor Woshman Ncube, the People's Democratic Party led by Tendai Biti, and other parties. They didn't field any candidate because they are alleging that the playing field is not level and the elections will be rigged. But of course, perennial campaigners such as the National Constitutional Assembly fielded their candidate, Maddox Chiwasa, who unfortunately was roughed up and beaten by alleged ZANU-PF supporters just a few days before the election, Gibbs.
Yeah, so Blessing, we actually posted some messages on Facebook asking people to actually react to what happened at the weekend. So we got a lot of messages, and one of them is from Takawira Austin Rwativenga, who says Mrs. Mchuru is still needed in the United Opposition because more than 2,000 people voted for her. And how many more are there in every constituency? Enough to have some advantage for the opposition against ZANU-PF. Then Simarashe Jari writes, Mrs. Mchuru knows the rigging methods of ZANU-PF used all along. Why didn't she do so this weekend? ZANU-PF is the boss. Then we've got Masbaba Keb, who writes, welcome to the rigging game. This is nothing compared to what they will do to you on the presidential election next year. Even ZAPU will be better than you. That's a laugh for Facebook, right? Then Ethan Zia says, the good thing about this is that Mrs. Mchuru will now see that a grand pact with Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai of the MDCT is the only way forward. And then Patwan Maguta only wrote rigged. And then we've got another message from Trust Chakarima who says, it's a waste of time when we talk about Mrs. Mchuru. And then Patwan Nyamu Teza says, you guys, they can calculate the difference between the votes. I think you are a good mathematician, right? You once way, right? Then what Divo Van Bed who says, oh, what a joke, a big joke indeed. So these are some of the messages. We'll still continue reading some of them, right?
And I think now we are being joined by Zimbabwe People First spokesperson, Mr. Jelas Mawarire in Harare. Mr. Mawarire, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Zulu.
I hope you are doing fine. How is Harare today?
Harare is good. For the first time in maybe 2 weeks, it wasn't raining.
Oh, that's good indeed, because most parts of the city were already flooding. But of course, today, Mr. Mawarire, we want to talk about the Bikita West by-election. What is your take on this by-election? What are the takeaways?
We were very clear when we decided to participate in this by-election, and we said, for us, this is like a mock election that we're participating in. We're testing our election strategy and quite a lot of things that we wanted to find out on the ground, starting from our own processes, candidate selection, our campaigning methods, our preparedness, resource-wise, as a political party. So we went in knowing fully well that, yes, a positive result would have done good to us. But we didn't care much about the result. We cared about what we would get out of the analysis that will come out of Bikita West. And we got quite a lot of lessons that we learned from there. But I'd like to say that, you see, there's this misconception by Zimbabweans that by-elections indicate or give a reflection of what is going to happen in a general election or a harmonized election. It's far from that, because a by-election has its own idiosyncrasy. It has its own variables. For instance, there is no particular constituency in the country where you are going to have two vice presidents coming in to campaign for one candidate. It's not going to be that. And also, the fact that all political parties will be contesting in all the 210 constituencies means even the violent machinery of ZANU-PF will be stretched. It also means that even resources that they were putting into Bikita West.
Unfortunately, we got cut off there. We'll try to get back to Mr. Mawarire. I think now we are being joined by political analyst Joy Mabenge in South Africa. Mr. Mabenge, good evening.
Good evening, Blessing, and good evening to the listeners as well, and good evening to the team that you are with there.
Thank you so much. I hope everyone is okay. Gibbs, maybe you can pose a question then.
Yes, what is your take on the by-election result?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Studio 7. The first point that I wish to make here is, number one, it was quite clear that ZANU-PF was going to win this election. If you were going to use the 2013 general election as a yardstick. However, I must be quick to point out that 2013 is not an appropriate yardstick in terms of measuring the effectiveness of that election, or rather measuring whether or not that election was free and fair. But the point I wish to bring to the table is that it is common cause. It is known that according to 2013 results, irrespective of whether there is an coup element or not, according to 2013 election results, the combined votes that were allocated to the winning candidate, Nyaradzi Kereke, and the ZANU-PF, and the other ZANU-PF candidate, showed us that supposedly there was support for ZANU-PF that was up to 13,000. I wish to say something here. Let's not forget that Bikita West has always been a contested terrain. In 2001, at the by-election that followed the passing on of Amos Mtongi, we all know that ZANU-PF deployed the late Chengerai Wunji, they deployed CIOs, they deployed their entire machinery to intimidate voters. That was in 2001. And suddenly, then the votes for ZANU-PF candidate, retired Colonel Claudius Makova, increased. Increased from what he got in 2000. He got in 7,441. In January of 2001, the votes increased to almost 13,000. They increased by a margin of 5,000. And we all wondered how it can be so that you can have such a huge increase in a single constituency. But we know that there's a margin of terror, there's a margin of error, and there's also a margin of shenanigans and manipulation. And ever since, if you check the trend since 2001, okay, ZANU-PF's vote has almost always been around 13,000, except for 2008, when again we saw 2008, before the presidential election, the runoff, the sham election, when again we saw somehow a freeish and fairish election. Again, in 2008, we saw a reflection that tells us that the average numbers are around 7,000, which is why the candidate for ZANU-PF then got 7,029, and the candidate for MDCT got 7,048, and he was declared the winner. So the trend in Bikita West is a very worrying trend because of the deployment at strategic moments by ZANU-PF of, number one, the element of terror, number two, the element of just playing around with figures, just playing around with the voters' role, just playing around, shenanigans, if you want to call them that. Mm-hmm. The third thing that I want to talk about, or the fourth thing that I want to talk about, is that Bikita West was a litmus test for the new entrant, Zimbabwe People First. And Zimbabwe People First, I'm sure they garnered about 2,500 votes.
Yes.
For me, as an analyst, I think it is fair enough, a figure for a party that is contesting its very first by-election. It is fair enough in the sense that also, in the absence of the main opposition that has always contested there, 2,000-something is a decent figure. Let's be quick, however, to say, in as far, I'm still analyzing this situation, but I would be quick to say I do not believe that the 2,400 votes that Zimbabwe People First brought to the table are actually votes from the ZANU-PF stronghold or from supporters of ZANU-PF. especially if you use just the analysis that I just gave you now, that if you combine the votes given to Mnyaradzi Kereke and Elias Msakwa, it gives you something around 13,000, and that is what we have. If you hold all factors constant, that is what we have for ZANU-PF in this election. I strongly suspect that there are voters who just decided to go and vote, besides the fact that, of course, ZIM People First might be creating its own social base, which is very difficult to recreate given the polarization that we already have in Zimbabwe. There is a possibility that, in fact, there are people who are tired of boycotting elections, and in the name of testing the waters, because there may not have been any clear message that said, do not go and vote, there are people that I suspect are opposition MDC supporters that might have gone to vote, and they voted for People First. So People First might have drawn supporters from MDC and some supporters from ZANU-PF. MDC mainly because of the absence of the mainstream MDC or the two MDCs in this election. This is my own analysis, and I think we need to go and dig a little bit deeper for us to really understand the trend. But the last point I wish to make a blessing is, let's not discount the element that ZANU-PF descended heavily on Bikita West in the same manner that they descended in Bikita West in 2001 and employed almost this very similar tactics, including beating up opposition candidates. We all know that Madok Chivasa was almost killed, and his election agent was also left for dead. So the element of violence, which had been covert in 2013, resurfaces in an overt manner. It's quite open, it's quite brazen, and it's something that must worry us all as we prepare for 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Mabenge. Please do stay on the line. I think we now have Mr. Mawarira. Fortunately, we had got cut off. Phones are a bit problematic. Gibbs, you can pose a question. Mr. Mawarira is back.
Yeah, Mr. Mawarira, we're happy that you are back, sir. So, at the end of the day, you have lost that kind of parliamentary by-election, and many people are saying that your party is very weak. What is your reaction to that?
I think before I was cut off, I was telling you that by-elections don't give a clear reflection of any party's potential in a general election, let alone the harmonized elections that we have in Zimbabwe. Because of the reasons that I was stating, that even the violence that Mabenge was talking about, the violence machinery will be stretched. Also, even in terms of the resources, you would find out that ZANU-PF had harnessed all the resources that they had and pulled them together, and they were dishing them out in Bikita West. But they wouldn't be able to do that to such a magnitude in 2018, because the constituencies would just be too many. So even if you look at the history of by-elections in this country, we have had by-elections in Chiredi South in 2005. And you'd find out that the MDC the candidate who had won by 9,000 votes, the same party, when the same constituency had a by-election, it lost, and it only garnered 3,000 votes. The same thing happened even in Gutu, where one of their candidates beat the former vice president, Simon Mzenda. But he lost a by-election that followed in the same constituency. So by-elections really don't measure the potential that a political party has in a general election, specifically for the reasons that I've told you. But for us, if you look at what happened for us, the way we campaigned in Bikita West, it was like we concentrated on our own structures. Our own structures in a constituency at our peak, we will be having 3,800 people. And the fact that we had 2,453 of our leaders in a constituency, it means that we have managed to set structures in Bikita West. And our hope then is, if the 2,453 will be able to a recruit, even 5 voters each. We are home and dry. So for us, it was a question of assessing our structure through this by-election to see that those people that we have put into leadership positions, are they brave enough to go out and vote themselves before they talk of encouraging others to come out and vote? So for us, we got what we wanted. We saw that we have structures with presence in the constituents. And also, you look at the time frame that we campaigned. A by-election also doesn't give the participating parties or candidates a lot of time to campaign, because there is virtually a very short space of time between the declaration of the election and the election day itself.
Mm-hmm. Thank
so
you.
Mm-hmm. All those are factors. Mm-hmm. But now everyone knows that we are going to have an election in 2018. And we are preparing from now until 2018. We are going to choose our candidate before the proclamation of the election date, because we know it's given that we have an election in 2018. But when we started our rallies, when we launched our party on 1 March last year, we didn't know that there was going to be a by-election in Bigita. So the time that we took to prepare for Bigita West as a new party was a very short period of time. But what did we get? We got 2,453. And I would also want to correct a notion there that MDCT did not participate in that election. They participated. You know, you can participate in an election through a proxy, and that's exactly what they did. Their provincial chairman, Mr. Gumbi, came out in the newspapers and he said they were supporting a so-called independent candidate, Mr. Mzimbiri. So for us, they participated. They participated through a proxy called Mzimbiri.
But Mr. Mawari, I think it's spokesperson.
It's pretty inaccurate. Mm-hmm. It's pretty inaccurate that they didn't participate. They did participate.
Yeah, but I think their spokesperson
is their provincial chairman.
Their spokesperson, Mr. Gutu,
their campaign teams were on the ground. We met with them.
But I think their spokesperson, to be fair to them,
participated through a proxy called Mzimbiri against our own candidate called Kudakwashe Gopo.
Yeah, but Mr. Mawari,
the factual thing on the ground.
They might end up being alternative facts, but I think the party came out to say they are not backing anyone in particular. I don't know, but we obviously cannot speak for them.
Maybe you are choosing who to listen to in the party. You are choosing who to listen to in the party.
The party is a spokesperson.
These reports are not coming from us as Zimbabwe People First.
No, the party
from MDCT provincial chairman Mr. Gumbi, who said that they are supporting an independent candidate called Mzimbiri.
But your party,
we never said that.
Your party leader, Mai Mujuru, said Mr. Tsvangirai called and said they were not backing anyone.
They were not backing anyone because the candidate was there.
Okay.
They could not come to our rally because the candidate that they were backing, the Mashingo provincial executive, MDC team Mashingo provincial executive, did not make it a secret that they were campaigning for Mzimbiri.
Thank you. Let's go to Rigaiti Mbwende Gunewamu Watereri. Tisatadzo kakunewamu Mbengi. Tina mkoma William. Magadi mkoma William. Aiwa, kuri nani ako? Mkoma William Murugupo.
Hello. Ndiba ba.
Okay, mkoma William, tipe ufungwa dzenyu nesarudzo dzeku Bigita West.
Ini ndinofunga kuti da. The result yakabuda ku Bigita West da. The best result for Zimbabwe. Of course, we might say kuti People First yazodai this and that, but that was the best result for Zimbabwe. Especially, you look at it, right now we are almost 1 year and a half to the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it closely, and ZANU has lost that election, and it, it will be a situation like, take for example, in 2008, there was a first election, which is ZANU-PF lost, then there was that runoff, and it, so had ZANU-PF lost the Peter West election, knowing very well right now in Zimbabwe there is something, you know, ZANU-PF in a stronghold areas. So what it meant is that we're looking forward to a West election in 2018 because they know very well good values of my election, and so they're going to do everything possible in their powers to make sure good Zimbabwe is negative for my wife. So you know good right now in Zimbabwe. So it's the politics of the tummy. But and they don't take people of Zimbabwe for granted. They know very well good this by election because the bigger picture is in 2018. And the people of Digita West voted for the people of 50. For example, and one or the other, they were going to be sacrificed. That right now they know very well this is just an insignificant election, and as such, let us just vote for ZANU-PF because already right now they are the ones who have got the power anyway. So let us vote for them. Then come 2018, that is when they will do whatever in their power to make sure that the Zimbabweans are born.
Tinotenda zvikuru mukoma William.
Andirega.
Tinotenda zvikuru.
Gibbs. All right.
Tinotenda. Unana.
No, I take a call, but I think the line is not too good. We've got Jealousy and Joy Mabenge. So, Mr. Mabenge, just briefly, there are some people who are saying that at the end of the day, the lack of participation of the MTCT in this kind of by-elections is counterproductive. So what is your kind of, comment on that? Just briefly.
But before I say that, there is an element I wanted to bring. Please pardon me for that.
Yeah, just briefly.
Since we have Mr. Mawarire on the other line, I just wanted to say to your listeners that my analysis also is that this election, in terms of the performance of the Zim People First as a new entrant, must also be looked at using the 2013 lenses, and it must play out in the Kereke versus Musakwa element, because then the leader of the Zim People First was still quite solidly a member of ZANU-PF. And there is, I don't know Musakwa, I don't know Kereke, but there was talk that actually said that Kereke was belonging to one faction and Musakwa was belonging to the other faction. So at barest minimum, assuming that ZANU-PF was fishing from the original ZANU-PF pond, the barest minimum that they would have been expected to garner in this election, holding all factors constant, would have been 6,052 votes. I rest that point for now. And then I want to come back to the point around election, around participating. As somebody was saying, these elections, Bikita West, for instance, clearly shows us that nothing has changed in the electoral environment. In fact, if the MDCT had participated, other than splitting votes with other opposition political parties, they were just going to legitimate a fundamentally flawed process in terms of the use of violence and other unorthodox means. So for me, the most important thing that that those that are not participating in elections such as the MDCT and the MDC must look at is between now and 2018, we've just about 18 months. They must signpost the roadmap to a free and fair election and ensure that the small gains that have been made that have been made so far through reform that ZEC is undergoing and ZEC still has to undergo, those small reforms must be purchased to ensure that we have full throttle reforms that look at the electoral environment that look at the electoral act, that look at everything electoral, everything political, everything media. If they do not do that, if they do not do that, we are really just going to have a repeat of 2013. So my point here is that those that are not participating in these sham elections, besides the point that others are bringing, that they are giving the space to others, I am sure that if the environment is corrected, those that are not participating have a solid social base that they will go back to sell their electoral agenda, to sell their manifesto to, and if they truly believe in them, they will still vote for them. We need to concentrate on electoral reforms before 2018.
But that is not going to happen, Mr. Mabenge. That is not going to happen. So let's face facts here. The thing is, ZANU-PF has actually said adamantly, there is nothing that is going to change. So maybe let's change the kind of way that we approach some of these things. So if something doesn't change, what is going to happen?
They must be forced to change.
How?
They must be forced to change. Unfortunately, for an analyst like me, I do not actively participate in elections other than just voting, and of course other than just preaching about participation, political participation and other things. But political parties themselves, working with civil society, must keep knocking on ZANU-PF's door and make sure that they understand the importance of electoral reform. They understand the importance of ensuring that people are given an environment that allows them to choose their representatives freely. You see, whoever thought that 2008, the election that we had in March 2008, that election before the sham election of June 2008, that election in March was a fairly free and fair election. And it was because opposition political parties and civil society worked very hard, very, very hard to push ZANU-PF to accept the importance of electoral reforms. Whoever at that moment thought that ZANU-PF would agree to post results on each and every polling station, people thought it was not possible until it was done. So my point here is that Zimbabweans cannot be marshaled into accepting a narrative that says that it is not possible for ZANU-PF, it is not possible for Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to run a credible election. It must be possible in our lifetime.
Thank you.
Therefore, we must do everything possible to ensure that it is possible.
Thank you very much, Baba Mapenge. Siyabonga kakhulu. Ubambe khona so akade ukhuluma ukuthi kukhona okungenzakala kungaguquka ngokuhamba kwesikhathi ezokhetho. Bengumbuza ukuthi pho nxa kungaguqukanga kumele kwenziweni. Uthi kabafoswe sibili babanjwe ngenkani ukuthi bathi baguqule abantu bezanu indlela okwenziwa ngalo ukhetho.
Of course, Mr. Mabenge's history on his side. Smith said that there was not going to be majority rule in 100 years. And of course, the former Gambian leader, Jame, was saying he was going to rule for 1 billion years. He's now in exile. Regatendo na mkoma mamuaruku Zambia, watawadongo nzibora mberi. Magadi.
Magadi mwa brezim.
Aywa, tirina nukurise iko. Muruku Lusaka, Muruku Chipata, Muruku.
Abantu utopinda murusaka kubva Tanzania ndotaona utopinda murusaka izvo pa Independence Stadium apo.
Handiti ka tipe mvungwa dzenyu iri mudariro mainzwa iBigita West nesarudzo dziri kutera.
Nyai yeBigita West ndiri webhora mberi batenda kuya iko kuna langora sika wanasi. Nyai ndo kuti wa mavari lava, wa mai mijuru lava.
Mhm.
Ano, murunzwa.
Tirikukunzwa.
Right. Iyo ndokupatiko wanga wari. Shumba ya waka siya yora, nasi jingori shumba yoro, haina kuchinja. Iwa wari shumba kudara, nasi wakutu wa ambruzi. Saka wanongo jiwa, pala wakutu pezi wanu, wadaya wako siya nasi wakutu esu. Wakutu pezi wangu wazi wani kukuyo.
Mm-hmm. Asika vane kodzero kaya kutika na wasi kufara, nezuru kuitwa wano buda ndo demokrasi kama kuma borambe.
Right, iba demokrasi babo. Kana wasina kuchinja, vota siloruka. Hapana kwa wangu wata uchinja, vota siloruka uchinja. Mudele asili ari anda vota zore ari anema vota zore bayo mara minimiso registra hapana yatinoburisa ipa ngauta kwaka zvese ndira inake ground zvona kana zopinda ground kuti ngopinda ground mune matombo mwezi ora atambike.
Saka zvinhu ngazvigadziriswe mitemo yesarudzwe
zvapauri munongoenda kusazorota handi totamba bhora mumatope mune munyota mabatambike bhoracho totangorireketa yavanotanga vagadzira ground
vamawarire muri kunzwa zviri kutaurwa namukoma vamawarire muri kunzwa zviri kutaurwa namukoma bhora mberi
inge iri nyuwani ndo zvichange zvichiitwa ka handiti chakuita tichange tiane voters roll nyuwani munhu wese achatanga kurejistwa panyuwani kune inonzi biometric voter registration ichatanga muna mei gore rino saka voters roll inyaya yatiri kutogadzirisa mapato anopikisa under the auspices of NERA have been working on that and working with ZEC. We have also committees that we've seconded people into as political parties that are working closely with ZEC. We have a committee for the media. We have several committees that ZEC, I think in total now 9 committees that ZEC is created where political parties second their representatives. So we are working closely with ZEC, and we believe and we hope that 2018 will be a bit different. But as Mabenge was saying, there is always room to push ZEC to be professional, to push for reform. Yes, we did that. I was part of civil society in 2008, working for Zimbabwe Election Support Network, and we pushed for Constitution Amendment number 18, which brought with it the directive that election results were supposed to be posted on polling stations. That was done, and if it was done, it can also be done. This idea that someone says, ZANU-PF said it won't reform itself out of power. This was a statement that was made by Jonathan Moyo, who is not the spokesperson of ZANU-PF. He was merely expressing his own views, and the whole country cannot be stalled because Moyo has said something. We are going to push for electoral reform, and that's the reason why we have been working very hard under the auspices of NERA to ensure that the playing field is level. But you don't just fight your war on one front, on the front of electoral reform alone. But we have to test ourselves as a political party. As a new political party, as a new entrant, we would subject ourselves to those mock elections as and when they come. We call them mock elections. And if they come in, we are going to test whatever variables that we want to test as a political party. And I think we should take advantage of these by-elections to assess where we are as a political party. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, then if we participate in the next by-election, there will be significant changes, very significant changes that we are going to realize. We are going to progress, and we are not going to be discouraged by what came out of Bikita West. What came out of Bikita West is actually an encouragement that we could pull through 2,453 votes in circumstances that I explained before. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at companies which are global and which are very phenomenal, like Coca-Cola, the first year they sold 25 gallons of Coca-Cola at an average of 9 drinks per day. But now they are selling 1.9 billion drinks each and every day. So if that significant stride that we made in Bikita West is giving us the impetus to go forward, the impetus to reflect on what we did wrong and what we did right, the impetus to restructure our structures within each and every constituency in the country to enable that, we will be on a solid ground. Imagine we could do that without a substantive leadership of the party. We haven't even gone to our convention, but we could pull through 2,053 votes in the Kita West. What more if we finalize on our structuring, on our mobilization strategy, and we go for Congress, we come up with a substantive leadership, and we have ample time to choose the 210 parliamentary representatives that we are going to have in 2018, they are going to definitely drop and shock ZANU-PF.
Thank you, Mr. Maori. Let's just bring in Mr. Mabenge. Mr. Mabenge, some commentators are saying this showing by the opposition and some independent candidates clearly demonstrate that there is need for a coalition in 2018. Otherwise, they will be trounced by ZANU-PF. Mr. Mabenge? Mr. Mabenga, is he on the line?
Hello?
Mr. Mabenga?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'd said that, you know, some are saying this showing, the Bikita by-election demonstrates the need for an opposition, for a coalition in order to challenge ZANU-PF. Do you agree or agree to disagree?
Well, I wouldn't use Bikita West as a litmus test to arrive at that conclusion, for the simple reason that other players that might be part of that coalition, other mainstream players, if I may put it that way, did not participate in that election for us to be able to arrive at the conclusion that a coalition is needed. However, let me be quick to point out that. At this point in time, it is very clear to me that in terms of numbers, increasing the numbers, in terms of strategy, the opposition political formations need each other. Are you there? Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. And I want to quickly come in and say, by percentage, somebody did a quick calculation using Bikita West, and they said that the percentage that Zim People First, for instance, represents in Bikita West in terms of the total number of people that voted is about 14% of the number of people that voted. Now, if we assume that 2,500 is the average figure that Zim People First is going to get across the country in a general election. And if we assume that those are also fairly new voters, then definitely there is need for a pact of some sort, for a coalition of some sort, or an alliance into the election. Which alliance will allow Zim People First, which by assumption also has supporters that are sitting in ZANU-PF, to bring in those numbers into the broad opposition political parties to fight Mugabe in the game of numbers. Fight Mugabe or ZANU-PF in the game of numbers. Number two, individuals that lead these political parties have different backgrounds, different capacities. And there is another saying that says that if in one of the mainstream opposition political parties there is no one with Liberation War credentials, and if it is so fundamental that it affects the voting patterns in the country, and there is somebody that has Liberation War credentials, then what is the problem with coming together? They must come together in order for them to increase the numbers and in order for them to strategize together. The strategy, the ball game, becomes somewhat different. So for me, the issue of a coalition, a pact, or an alliance as people go into 2018 cannot be overemphasized. These numbers across the board are all quite important. There is no number that is less important than the other, especially if it tells you that for you to grab the presidency, you need 50% plus one vote. So if you think that one vote that is sitting there with a very small political party is not that important, then you will lose it by that one vote. So it is very important for opposition political forces to come together and look at the bigger picture. In fact, if anything, Blessing Zulu, it must be understood that Zimbabwe is nearing the end of a Mugabe era. The end of a Mugabe era is going to reconfigure the political terrain in a very, very, very fundamental way. This is why it is now possible for hitherto enemies to be able to come together on the table and be able to talk about a coalition, a pact, or an alliance. Okay. So it's very, very critical for the people of Zimbabwe to be marshaled, especially those that believe in change,
Thank you, Mr. Mabega.
By its leader into an election where opposition political parties will be working together.
Thank you. Just want to take one or two callers. Gibbs.
Yeah, you know, Willard Moyo. Baba, Willard Moyo, kunjani? Nomzana Willard Moyo, kuchona njani? Oh, kanya zani phone yake simani ham.
Kuna vachikuni. Vachikuni makadi. Vachikuni? Numbers. Vachikuni? Vanenge vadropa zvakare. All right. Regaiti dzoke kuna vamawarire. Vamawarire. Let's talk about a coalition.
Hello.
Yes. What is your take on this idea of a coalition ahead of the 2018 election?
We have been very clear as a party that it's in the best interest of Zimbabweans, and Zimbabweans have shown that in Gweru in August last year, when we had a joint march and a joint rally with the MDC, that they are prepared to work together. They are prepared to fight this war together. They are prepared to change their country together. And for me, a coalition, a pre-election coalition, is not only there to quantify votes, but it provides and for us to heal our politics that had been polarized by ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF had made it very difficult for members of different political parties to be seen together because of the party's notion that if you don't believe in what ZANU-PF is doing as a party, you become their enemy. So for us, the idea that Zimbabwe People First, MDC, MDC, PDP, and civil society organizations can come together, or any other grouping for that matter that will be interested in what we'll be doing as a group will come together. We'll go a long way in healing the politics of the country that had become a poor.
I think we got cut off. We'll try to get back to Mr. Mawarire. Gibbs.
Yeah, we are kuluma kuti ukulume kuti kukatekele kakhulu kuti kube la konoku ongenziwa kungakafiki ukhetho. Kodwa na umbono wakhe uti lokhu akudingela ama numbers. Uti lokhu kudingela ukuthi abantu bazwe bengazini bayakhudumala xa besiya khona ngale kukhetho. Ngoba vele kuqathekile ukuthi abantu bangafi ngamaqamqam. Siyabona ukuthi abantu bangaba ngamaqamqam kuyahlupha kakhulu. For example, ngakhangela eMathebeni and South, lapho kwakuvota khona iMDC kaNcube, MDC kaTswangirai, kuzobuya lamanye anganafanana. Kwakungela kuzwanana okunenkangako kusiya kukhetho olwedlulayo. So nxa ukuthi kathesi abantu bengathi siyelungoza kukhetho sindawonye mbonakazana umehluko ngokutsho kwamnumzana lapha ukuthi ungahamba-ke ngendlela eyiyo. So let me go back to Mr. Mabenge. Mr. Mabenge, now you are raising some very interesting things or issues here concerning the percentages, you know, 14% of the vote for Mrs. Mjuru. So at the end of the day, is so interesting. But hold on there for a second before you react to my question. So again, ngikhulume lo Baba Mleya osecingweni. Baba Mleya, unganjani?
Yebo.
Yeah, kunjani Mleya?
Sikhona njani?
Hayi, siyaphila kakhulu. Yeah, ungathini ke ngalokho okwenzakala eBhikita lapha ke okuwine ibandla leZANU-PF kwadliwa ke elikaMjuru eleZimbabwe People First lamanye athize. Ungathini ngakhonokho?
Mina ngithi engagadazeki uma imbizo bengabe bengasisi kakhulu ubona kahambele kucampaina nakubuyeka lokhu icampaina bengele u-28 kangelele ukuthi banganqoba ingasibo bona noma umongameli uMorgan Tsvangirai bengakunqoba beyithuba ngaphaebayibohesi kukhangelele bona ukuthi
So kodwa ukujongana ngonoku mle.
Ba
ukujongana ukuthi banganqoba ukubona ngapi kutshengisela njani?
Hayi, ngabe ngathi impilo yalapha yenzi. Umuntu wonke wayobona ukuthi kwenzi elokuzini. Elizweni. Yikho sikhangelela ukuthi when I love her, who never write. Kangalani was 2013. So from 2009,
I'm not sure.
I will come.
So that is Mr. Mleya. Okay. He says that, you know, Zimbabwe people first should not give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're starting to do something, and he believes that Mr. Tsvangirai and Mrs. Mchuru can team up to form a very good, formidable kind of opposition to beat ZANU-PF.
Mm-hmm.
He says things are very bad. So these two guys are actually those people that are looking at to say, okay, we are having leaders that can actually lead us to somewhere else, you know, because they want Zimbabwe to be independent. They want Zimbabwe to have some, you know, create some jobs. So
mm-hmm.
the citizens, they want a lot of things from what can happen between Tsvangirai and Mchuru.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, he's flashing back to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look at what UNIT did. People were happy then, you know. Now people are sad
mm-hmm.
because all the parties are fragmented. You know, maybe Mabenge can react to that. But so, yeah, that's it.
Mr. Mabenge, are you still on the line? Mr. Mabenge? We might be having problems there. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me, Mr. Mabenge? We'll try to get back to him because the phones have been a bit problematic. But of course, for those of you who are just joining us, we are talking about the Bikita West by-election. And of course, the lessons for both the ruling party and also the opposition parties. The elections, Gibbs, no doubt, are coming up.
Yeah.
But there are always problems in
mm-hmm.
Zimbabwe when it comes to unity. And now, that's what I wanted to ask Mr. Mabenge, that it appears a political party is being formed every day.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes,
one analyst true. Said that if you put five Zimbabweans
in one room.
Mm-hmm. Or if you put three Zimbabweans in one room, let's put them at three. If you mm-hmm. put three Zimbabweans in one room, they will form three political parties and two NGOs. And we have, you know what some might call alphabet soup political parties. Very confusing.
Yes.
So even if they are to form a coalition, with whom? Because there are some parties that are just a one-man band.
Mm-hmm.
The leader is the Secretary General, the President, the Vice President, the First Lady, all in one.
And where is our friend Garivume? I mean, let's look for him tomorrow. Let's ask
Garivume.
Because Garivume will be pitching up somewhere around December next year. So now, let's look at what some NGOs said about the election.
I think our producer is saying that Mr. Chuma is on the line, Honorable
Chuma,
ZANU-PF. Honorable Chuma?
How are you?
We are doing great. And compliments of the new year.
Compliments of the year to you. How is the new administration of Mr. Trump?
Of course, he has started work. We'll see as it goes.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Honorable Chuma, congratulations, of course, your party won in Bikita. But you heard from the opposition, they were saying that there was a margin of terror.
I think these people don't know what they really want. Because I remember just last week, I saw a publication of some human rights the organizations that were there in Bikita
mm-hmm.
who reported to say, at least this seems to be a very fair election because there's no there's no violence at all. All parties are free to engage, and they're campaigning on the ground freely. So now, what terror are they talking about?
But an NCA candidate was beaten up allegedly by ZANU-PF supporters.
I'll tell you something. I think there's now a lot of misconstruing of facts by certain people. Just like what happened here, in Harare, somebody claimed that someone is abducted only for that person to come up and say, no, I was with my family over the weekend, I was never abducted, and stuff like that. There's a lot of lying going around here. Let's be sincere. People must just celebrate ZANU-PF's victory in Bikita and count their losses and go deeper and find out why they lost. And that is the way any game player in this kind of game should go. Not to be pointing fingers and playing the game, the blame game every time. It will not take you anywhere. It will not add any votes for you. It will not make you win any election. What will make you win an election is to do what you call introspect. Just like what we did, we lost the Norton seat, and then we went back to the drawing board. We looked deep into ourselves, said, what caused this? And we came up with quick answers and had stop measures to make sure that we come out victorious for the Bikita seat.
Mm. Yeah, Baba Chuma, but even the ZANU pela liabulala ngorika, but ali rikinje litelumoya. So, what did you So he's saying that they've got a formula of winning in the rural areas. And people must forget about rigging.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying rigging is just a story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a better story to tell as ZANU-PF on how to win in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
and to top it up as well, what I said in vernacular, what I simply said was that winning of elections in any election field is all about deliverables. And ZANU-PF has got tangible deliverables when it comes to rural areas, rural provinces, and hence the winnings that we will always capture there. Unlike here in towns, that's why you discover that we lose seats in towns because people here deem that we have no deliverables for them, because people here look for aspects like employment and stuff like that. And there's nothing like that right now. And therefore, people judge us according to that, although they don't understand that we did not create this gap of not having employment.
Thank you.
But still, so it clearly shows that there is no rigging. Because if there was rigging, we're going to rig the towns as well and make sure that we win all the seats in Harare.
Thank you, Honorable Chuma. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but we want to thank our guest this evening, Honorable Joseph Chuma, ZANU-PF Central Committee member and MP, Mr. Jelas Mawarire, spokesperson, Zimbabwe People First, and political analyst Joy Mabenge in South Africa. We want to thank our viewers, our listeners, our callers, and those who send messages on Facebook and WhatsApp. And of course, our engineers and producers signing off. This is yours truly, Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Gibbs Dube. Good night, Zimbabwe.